This episode is sponsored by Splendor in the Grass.
You're listening to The Plug with Neil Griffith.
Everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Plug Podcast with me, Neil Griffiths. Thanks for listening to this episode. It's good to have your company as always. If you haven't already, be sure to follow and subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening to this episode from. And check us out on Instagram and TikTok at theplug.podcast. And while you're in that subscribe and following mood, check us out on YouTube as well at theplug.podcast to watch full episodes. Regular listeners will know that we took a couple of weeks off, returned last week, with my first guest, which is Jay Baruchel, who came on to talk about the new Netflix series FUBAR alongside the legend that is Arnold Schwarzenegger. I had so much fun recording that episode, and thank you to all of the feedback for it. But this week we're pivoting back to music. My guest this week is one of the hottest emerging names in music right now, having cracked over a billion streams on a number of songs at only 19 years of age. This week I'm joined by British-born Canadian singer-songwriter Lauren Spencer Smith. Lauren came on the show ahead of her debut album called Mirror, which is due out everywhere on July 14th. We spoke about Lauren garnering a huge audience on TikTok only a few years ago to now preparing to release the new record with sold-out shows set to kick off in the US on the day of Mirror's release, followed by stops in Europe, the UK, and Australia. For details on tickets, check out laurenspencersmith.com. On this episode, we also talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly of social media, her love of Adele, what she is and isn't looking forward to on this upcoming tour, and even more new music to follow once Mirror is out in the world. So ladies and gentlemen, sit back, relax, put your feet up, do whatever it is you do that helps you relax. Here is Lauren Spencer Smith on The Plug Podcast. All right, welcoming to The Plug Podcast for the very first time. I am rapt to welcome to the show Lauren Spencer Smith. Lauren, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
How are you?
I'm good. I thought I was going to be late to this, so my whole morning has been like, I just did my makeup in 10 minutes. I've been like, making sure I was going to be on time, so I'm like, I feel like I'm de-stressing right now.
I mean, you were like all of 2 minutes late. It wasn't like we've been sitting here for half an hour. It's fine.
Yeah.
Wait, you said morning. So where are you right now?
I'm at my house. Right. But it's just like I had an appointment and, you know, the one thing's late and then that bleeds into everything else. So I've been trying to like not speed on the road, but also like drive faster than the speed limit.
Yeah, right. Well, thank you again for coming on the show. Obviously, the big reason you're here is to promote this album, Mirror. It is out July 14. Spoilers for listeners, we're recording this maybe like a month ahead or a little under 2 months ahead of the release. How are we feeling now that we're kind of in the final stretch?
Yeah, I'm definitely feeling, I feel like I have been so stressed for months being like, are we going to get it finished? What's going on it? And just like all the things that go into making an album. And we're finally at the point where we're like, great, the track list is sent in. The music was finished as of yesterday. So I just
as
feel like
yesterday.
A big weight. Yeah, as of yesterday. We announced it before everything was done. But finally, everything is like mixed and mastered. And I'm like, I don't have anything else to do for this album music-wise. So yeah. I feel a weight lifted off. I feel great.
I guess, like you said, you finished this track list as of yesterday. So your obligations for this album are officially done as of right now.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, well, for the music part.
Sure, yeah, sure, yeah. The music part, yeah. You've got a big year. I don't want to alarm you, but you've got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
This is kind of wild because thinking about what you've done at this point, you know, one EP, an American Idol run, a bunch of singles, some of which have already cracked a billion streams. When I was 19, I had like advanced from working at Blockbuster to my local cinema. So. Yeah. Similar career paths, I feel, you and I.
Yeah.
This is insane. Like, and we're now talking about your debut album, despite all of this craziness that has happened so far. Does it feel like it's been a long time coming, or does the, I hate this term, but the overnight sensation thing ring a bell?
I mean, I kind of feel like I'm like 30. Like, I feel like I've aged so many years in my life that everything, I just feel like everything I do in a 3-month period ages me a year. So I feel like the creating of this album, I feel like it has been a long time coming. We've been writing for this album for almost 3 years. I think the first song was almost written about 3 years ago. So I feel like we've just been, there was a whole period in the beginning of the album where like, we didn't even know we were writing an album or really what the sound was. We were just trying to teach me how to songwrite and figure out what my sound was. And it's like gone through so many different stages to the final stages of being like, oh, this is the album. How do we make this cohesive? How do we make the production similar? So I definitely don't feel like it was an overnight thing. I think me and my best friend who have worked on the album, like we call once a week being like, yo, when this shit's over, we need to go on a fucking vacation. Like we need to do something. Like we've just been day in, day out listening to mixes over and over and rewriting things that we're like, we need a vacation and like a margarita.
I like that. And a margarita. Wait, so that's going to be in what? End of November after this entire tour?
Honestly, at this rate, it's probably going to be like 2024.
Sure, right?
Yeah.
It's crazy to think because I've been working in music media for like 10 years now. And I remember you first came across my radar, like a lot of people, probably around Back to Friends. And I remember thinking, oh, this is a great song. Got to keep an eye on her. The last 2 years in particular seems to have gone, again, without using that overnight sensation term, you've gone from this burgeoning artist, like, holy shit, let's keep an eye on her, to you've blown up in such a crazy way. Like, to give you a quick backstory, I, as you can tell by my stupid accent, I'm from Australia, but I moved to New York late last year and I saw you were playing New York and I was like, oh, fuck yeah, I'm going to go see Lauren. It sold out like instantly. I couldn't go. And like, that just speaks volumes of how quickly you had blown up in such a short amount of time. And it wasn't like that one show had sold out. That entire run you did late last year sold out so fast. Yeah. What was it for you when we talk about those singles, like, you know, last year itself, like Fingers Crossed and Flowers, they did what they did. Mm-hmm. Was there a particular song or time where everything shifted for you as far as I'm doing really well to, okay, I'm now hitting billions of streams. I can't imagine when you hear your song has hit a billion streams, it's just like a weird, like, oh, cool, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely feel like Fingers Crossed was like a turning point. I definitely remember, honestly, I remember the song. I remember all my numbers being so huge. And I was like, I've never seen numbers like this before a song has come out. And every second video, if not, I'd be like 15 scrolls deep would just be my song over and over and over on my For You page. And I was like, okay, I think this is going to be big, but like, I'm not sure. But I remember the day it came out and I think it did like, I don't know, like 10 million streams or something the first day, which is insane. Mm. And honestly, from that point onwards, I remember my team called me being like, we're flying you to New York tomorrow. Like you need to meet with labels, you need to be doing promo. And I had never really done any of that. So it was definitely, that was like the turning point of like, oh, my life's changed. I think I'm going to be an artist forever.
Well, you mentioned that like, you didn't even realize that you were making this album a few years ago. Was that always the ultimate overarching goal? When we think about, you know, a lot of these amazing covers you've done online, then you started rolling out your own singles. Before all of this was the goal, I want to be an artist. I want to release proper albums.
Yeah. I've always wanted to put out an album. I knew I didn't want to put out an album until I had enough traction. Because I was like, I want people to listen to it. I want my debut album to be a big deal. I want it to be perfect. So I kind of just kept writing and just having songs in the bank. So when the time came that I needed an album, I was like, well, here's what I have so far. How can we build on that? But I definitely, like, since I was a kid, I was like, no, I want to be an artist. I want to be huge. I want to have 10 albums, like go crazy.
It again, mentioned that tour last year. Have you had a really had a break since then as far as you did that run? Then I imagine you've kind of gone straight into getting this album ready.
Not really. Like, I mean, I went on vacation, but I feel like even when I go on vacation, like I'm still doing things that it's not, I've not, the problem with like being an artist that does social media is like, no matter what you do, like you can't have a day off from social media. Like you have to post every day. So like even when I was on vacation, I was still taking like sometimes 2 hours out of my day to like make sure I recorded a video and post on every platform and like check with it. And like, I made sure I would go work out in the morning and I would make sure like those hours were like, this is when I'm calling my management. This is what, like the time where I'm going to be working. And then like, you know, 12 onwards, I can go on a boat and not go on my phone. I haven't really had yet a moment of like, I'm going to go somewhere and I'm not going to go on my phone. Or I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to post. I'm just going to go. And I haven't really had that yet.
Will you be allowed to do that because you've built up such a following?
I don't think so. I don't see any time in the future me being able to do that. I could maybe see. The problem is, like, I would get in my head about it that I'm like, oh, we're losing numbers. Like, you need to be consistent. Yeah. I think maybe after this next tour and after this album cycle, I think there'll be like a month period where I'm like, I'm going to go to Bali. I'm going to go wherever I want and just like not go on my phone. And then when I go into kind of like second album mode is when I'll start being consistent again. I think I might have like a small short period of time where I can do that. Mm.
Well, I did want to ask you because you're kind of one of those prominent artists who have used social media in such a positive way with your music. Mm. And a lot of the musical guests I have on this show, they kind of vary in age. Like, you know, I've had artists similar to your age, like Gracie Abrams, who also is massive on social media. And then I've had older acts like a Matchbox 20 or acts who are maybe a little bit more introverted, like a Tash Sultana, who don't really like using the social media side of things. How important has that been in your career? And I guess, what would you say to a ridiculous sentence? What would you say like to the Matchbox 20s of the world who obviously don't really need or want to use that side of the platform? Yeah. Because, you know, back in the day, it's you get a song on the radio, or even more recently, it's all about the streaming numbers. Stuff like TikTok now is so important to connect with your fans, not only on that level, but also to literally get your music out there.
Yeah. I mean, social media is the only thing I need for my career at this point. Mm. It's like the most helpful, useful tool for me for everything. I guess I would say, like, I think even a lot of the artists who don't need it necessarily to like get streams or get numbers, I think the ones that still do choose to use it tend to be shining through right now. Like, I think I think it only works in your advantage. Cause like if you're, you know, Taylor Swift and you make a TikTok account, like you're immediately going to have 20 million followers because you're Taylor Swift. And I think there's a really cool thing about social media that it's just like a way for your fans to connect with you and get to know you. And like, the more your fans love you as a person and not just your music, the more they're going to be obsessed with you and like buy tickets and go to your shows and download your music. Like, it's all about having that connection with your fans. And I think on social media, people get to feel like you're their friend. But I think most of the artists that I know that are like huge, huge right now that I really think are like connecting with their fans, a lot of them are still using like social media and TikTok and like trying to be on the new wave. And sometimes I think TikTok gets a little shit on, just like social media in general. But I'm kind of the opinion that I'm sure in 5 years is going to be another new thing that we're all going to have to be on. And like, you can either get on the train or not get on it. And I think the people who choose to get on the train tend to go a lot farther, and they're like doing everything that they could possibly do to try to make themselves successful. So I really respect a lot of the people who hate social media and like didn't grow up in that era, but are still trying to be like, I'm going to be on it. I'm going to figure it out. And like, I don't even need to, but like, I know my fans want me to do it, because I definitely think it's for the fans more than for yourself, for sure.
I feel like you're in that sweet spot when it comes to something like TikTok, though, because a lot of people kind of use it for comedy. They'll kind of make a gimmick out of it. First and foremost, you use it for your music. And so many people I know that I've spoken to about your music, they're like, oh, that's the girl from TikTok. That's how people know you. But it's the gateway. Then you go, okay, great. I like that song. Now I'm going to jump on Spotify. And that's how I imagine you've managed to just sell out an entire country tour in a matter of 6 months.
I honestly think like even all the songs that I listen to and all the artists that I'm such big fans of now, like I find all of their music on TikTok. Even like sometimes I think a lot of artists that are already big right now will shit on TikTok, but their song is still trending and popular on TikTok. So I'm like, well, maybe you are not on TikTok, but like your song was discovered by people on TikTok. So I think it's just like moving so many different things, because you don't even have to be on TikTok. Like, I know every single Ariana Grande song because it will blow up on TikTok. Right. And like, same with Taylor as well. Like, every Taylor Swift song from like all the way back to like 2012 is trending on TikTok to this day. And like, I'm learning like the old Taylor albums that I didn't listen to as a kid through this algorithm. So I think it's just crazy and it can do anything.
I have to say I'm a little disappointed in you. Again, I'm 30, but I saw recently you said you've only just got into Avril Lavigne like 2 years ago. Now, as an emo kid, former and present, what the fuck, Lauren?
I know. I feel like my best friend is 10 years older than me, and she is like obviously obsessed with Avril Lavigne, and I'm always like, I just feel like I was like 3 years too young to remember like her music at that age, yeah. You know what I mean? And I think I was just like that one bracket. I know, like, obviously I knew Complicated and stuff like that my whole life, but I think I just missed like that one moment. By the time I got to that age, I was like just obsessed with Adele and only listened to Adele.
Yeah. But it's probably what you just said, right? Like, especially with that, the kind of emo phase that has made a big comeback. Avril was in that emo phase in the early 2000s. It's made a comeback in every way, especially on social media. So now people who probably weren't even born at that time and now hearing that music, which is, again, how is that a bad thing in any way?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause my best friend will be like, oh my God, this was my favorite song in like junior high or like in grade 11. And I'm like, well, that means I was like in elementary school. And I'm like, I don't remember like listening to the radio that much then. Like I didn't have a device. Like I didn't have, I had like maybe a my Adele CD in my mom's car.
Isn't that weird? Like even saying like I bought a CD sounds old now.
No, like people from like older generations, I feel like sometimes they're like, oh, your generation didn't have to do anything. And I'm like, well, no, I still remember like having to buy CDs. I had a CD player. Like I had to go to the movie store to get movies. Like you couldn't just rent them on a TV. Like I'm like, there's still so many things in life that I'm like, I can't believe I don't do those things anymore.
Yeah. I mean, we know that obviously Adele has played a massive part in your musical journey. Yeah. Is that an artist like from day dot? That's just like the cliche. You heard a song for the first time and thought, that's it. That's what I want to do.
Yeah. I think I only listened to like Adele's albums for like 4 years straight. Like I would sit in my room and try to mimic her and try and sound like her. Every competition I joined, I would sing like every round an Adele song. Like I was just so obsessed with her. Yeah.
Wow. Have you had the privilege of meeting her yet?
No, I haven't met her. I went to her show in Vegas. And she walked by me. That's the closest.
Was that the one she was like when we were young and she walked through the crowd?
Yeah. And we were actually, so like in the theater, there's like the ground and then there's a hallway, like a walkway in between. And then the rest of the upper seats. Mm-hmm. And we were at the very back row of the ground. So when she walked through, we were like right there. We were freaking out.
That's so good. Do you have plans to meet her then? Surely we know some connections, surely.
I mean, I don't think so. Like, I think I would rather just like become like a huge artist and she like discovers me on her own, you know?
Right. Okay. I like that. I think that's what Gracie Abrams told me kind of happened with Taylor Swift. She like loves Taylor as much as you love Adele, and Taylor just kind of reached out to her and said, do you want to support me? So, you know, I guess the goal is support Adele's tour.
Yeah. Oh my God. I would. I love her.
It's back and it's the most wonderful time of the year. No, I'm not talking about Christmas. Old Saint Nick wishes he could give you a gift like this. I am talking about the return of Splendor in the Grass. Splendor in the Grass Music and Arts Festival is back and returns at North Byron Parklands on the 21st, 22nd and 23rd of July. Armed with another stacked lineup including Lizzo, Flume, Mumford & Sons, Lewis Capaldi, Yeah Yeah Yeahs, Hilltop Hoods, J Balvin, Sam Fender, Idols, and so many more, this is a festival you do not want to miss. You can get your tickets right now at splendorinthegrass.com. I'll see you at Splendor in the Grass 2023. I did want to talk, because as we're recording this, we're a couple of days out from the release of that part, which, speaking of TikTok, Jesus, that one's blowing up arguably more than any of the others.
Yeah.
Tell me about this song. And I know that you mentioned earlier you've only just got the track list for this sorted. First of all, tell me about the inspiration behind this song, but where can we expect it on the Mirror track list?
Yeah. I think on the track list, it's at the end. So the end of the album, kind of the whole album starts very sad. We go through a couple of different phases.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then by the end of the album, you're like, oh, she's in love. And then we have one more song that ends the album, which is like, I would do this all over again. Like everything happens for a reason. Like I'm where I want to be in life. But the inspiration for the song was obviously my boyfriend. And I've written a lot of songs inspired by my boyfriend, but they always have like a twist of sadness. Mm-hmm. I've never actually just written like a love song. And normally I'm like, even though I'm in love with my boyfriend and I'm happy with my boyfriend, I'll have other things going on in my life that when I go in the studio, I'm like, no, I'm sad. I'm not writing a love song today. Like we're going sad. We're doing sad. Everybody wants the sad, the ballad, yeah. Like let's not go off brand. Like, I don't want everyone to like be confused. Mm. And randomly when we were on our way to the studio, I had said to my best friend who was driving me, like, I really want to write a love song today. This is so weird. And we were like 2 hours late to this session. Like traffic was so bad. And by the time we had gotten there, Jake and Yake had already started playing these chords and had laid something down. And they were like, oh, we were thinking like love song vibes. And I was like, wow, that is so random that you guys said that, because I want to write a love song. But yeah, about my boyfriend, how much I love him. It's really about like, I feel like I've only been with my boyfriend for a year, but I'm like, I want to get married. I want to have your children. Like, you're my husband. Like, I mm-hmm. am obsessed with you. So it's like that feeling that I think a lot of people get, especially when they're young and in relationships, that like everyone around them is like, oh, you can't feel that way. And I'm like, well, you can if you want to. Like, I feel that way. So I'm going to write a song about it.
Most importantly, what was the boyfriend's response to the song?
Yeah. My boyfriend is kind of introverted, so he's not like, I would never film his reaction or like anything like that.
Yeah, sure.
But yep. He was definitely happy. He was definitely appreciative. He's like, oh my God, that's so nice. You finally wrote one about me. That's happy. Yeah.
That's awesome. This tour kicks off on the same day as the album release, July 14th. Yeah. You go through all of America, then you hit UK and Europe. And then you go to Australia in October, November, yeah. which is my motherland. Is this the yeah. first time? Well, let's start with the American side first. Is this the biggest tour you've undertaken in your career?
Yeah, this is the biggest yeah. tour. This is also the first like actual tour. Like last year when we toured, it was very like, you know, we'd do like 5 or 6 shows and it'd just be like a random, oh, we're doing shows. It wasn't really like, oh, the mirror tour. Like I'm touring an album. So this is the first time. Last year we weren't on a bus either. We were flying everywhere. So this is the first year on like a proper bus tour, really wow. going for it. Last year we were pretty fortunate. We had a press tour. We went to like Stockholm and Germany and like a couple places like that. So we did hit a couple of those markets last year when we toured as well. And when we did the press tour, mm-hmm. But there's lots of places on this tour that we haven't toured and we haven't been to. Like we're going to Milan, which you've never been to. We're going wow. to Poland. I've never been to Poland. Yeah. There's lots of places in Europe that I've never been to. Yeah.
Okay. And what about Australia?
Yeah. Never been to Australia. I've been telling my team for like a year, when are we going to Australia? I want to see a kangaroo. I want to see a koala. Like,
hey, honestly, unless you go like to the outback, it's kind of just like lots of city. So yeah. you might not see a kangaroo. I don't want to disappoint you.
I'm making a trip. Like I've made a day where I'm like, we're going to wherever the hell we need to go for me to take a photo with a kangaroo or a koala.
And without putting, I guess, pressure on you, because, you know, you are promoting your debut album. Is yeah. this entire tour kind of about this album and solo this album? Are you going to be making time to write more music? Do you have a whole new secret album lined up, ready to go? What's the process going to be?
I feel like we've written so much that I feel like we've been writing so much that I'm like, okay, I need a sec for sure. But I feel like I won't be able to help myself not write. I think mm-hmm. my best friend who's opening for me is like the lead songwriter and vocal producer of pretty much the whole album. Wow. So she'll be there with me, of course. So I'm sure I will be on the road and be like, I want to write, let's write. I'm a little scared that I'm going to lose my voice. So mm-hmm. I wonder if I'll actually get to write as much as I think I'm going to, because I think I'm going to have to be on a lot of vocal rest. But I'm sure we'll write. We really want to put out like some Christmas stuff, which we've already written a lot of Christmas stuff, but I'm sure mm-hmm. we'll write some more. I would love to actually get ahead of the jump and already start writing stuff for my second album. So yeah. I'm not like next year in February, they're like, oh, we need it in 3 months. Like, I just want to get ahead of the jump before I even have to get into it. But I definitely think I'll be writing a lot, but I'm also trying to just like keep it. I'm trying to keep the tour fun and just like really, really enjoy it and not feel like overwhelmed by doing a million different things.
But, yeah. Yeah. What is it about artists like yourself? Because I saw an interview you did as well where you're like, if you want sad, I'm your girl. Which, by the way, frame that quote. Love that. So many people who write these beautiful, sad, heartbreak songs, whatever it may be, turn out to be some of the most upbeat people or nicest people. Do you guys just get all that negative energy out in your music so you can just smile all day?
I feel like I'm like 100% depressed, 100% sad. Like, actually, the last like month or so, I've been like kind of feeling a lot better. But I would say that people like in my personal life, the problem is that I'm an extrovert and like I'm always smiling. I'm always like the funny one in the group that wants to like cheer everybody up and like make everybody happy. So like naturally as a person, even when I'm like going through it, I'm still like, hey, how's it going? Hey, I'm Lauren. Let's have a conversation. Like, I don't like being alone. I always want to be on like FaceTime or with someone. Like I cannot stop talking for the life of me. So I think a lot of the times people are like, oh, she's just happy all the time. But I'm like, I'm definitely, I mean, the sad songs don't just come out of nowhere. So I'm like, I'm definitely, people, my fans know I cry all the time. I'm very emotional, like angry, sad, frustrated, whatever it is, tears are coming down my face. I feel my feelings very deeply, but I'm very good at like crying them out, feeling them, understanding why I felt them, and then being like, okay, today's a new day. We can conquer it.
That kind of makes sense why a lot of artists also say a lot of their, not sadder, but like deeper music can come on tour, because the tour schedule can be grueling sometimes. You're on the road, you're in a new city every day, you're meeting new people. Often you're just hustling all the time. So,
I'm so scared. I'm like,
Two could be incredible. This is great.
I'm like, I have never been so depressed as what I was on my last tour. I think there was a million things going on in my life at the time, but touring definitely was not helping. So I'm like, me and my team were already like, nope, we're not going to manifest that. Like, everything's going to go smoothly. Like, everything's going to work out. So I'm like, I'm definitely, I'm trying to stay positive, because I think a lot of the reasons why I tour so hard is because you can't be in a schedule and like, you can't have like, you can't meal prep. You can't do all that kind of stuff. And since we weren't on a bus last year, like, it was just impossible. Like, I was repacking a suitcase every day. So I'm already stoked on the fact that I'm going to be on a bus. I'm going to be in the same place every day. I can bring my vitamins. I can bring my green drinks, like my protein powders. Everything's going to be in one place. I'm going to feel organized. But I'm definitely a little worried.
But the best part would probably be say if you do a tour on the back of a single, this is your debut album. This is a whole showcase of a bunch of songs, which again, you've been working on for so many years.
Yeah.
It's a celebration. If you're going to do anything, just get off your own back for this tour, at least in a few months, right?
Yeah. Well, the problem is too, that the songs are sad. So then like, as I'm singing the songs, I'm like reflecting on why they're sad. And then I'm like, I'm going to cry on stage talking about it.
But that's good. Then you get it all out. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's nice to think that like your writer will just be what? Some vitamins and some water.
My writer is literally water. No, actually it's a lie. My writer is water. Strawberries, mangoes, like whatever fruit they have, and ham and cheese sandwiches.
You've got to have a little bit of like a dick move. Like, I want like a big bowl of M&Ms and nothing else. Like, do something.
I know everybody says that. And I'm like, I can't think of anything.
I'll think of something.
Yeah.
Like what's your favorite chocolate? Like, just get like an absurd.
I know, but
bowl
I'm trying to like
that.
Not, I'm trying to like on the road, I just eat like shit. So I'm like,
right.
The problem is we do so many events that then every time we pull up to a rider, there's like Twix bars and all this shit. And me and my whole team are just going ham on like the chocolate. And I'm like, okay, we need to just remove the junk food and the chips from the rider. So we stop eating it. So we did. We like took everything unhealthy out of the rider, because we were like, this is just, somebody, if you have an event every day, you're like every day eating like two bags of Cheetos and like a Twix bar, a Mars bar, a Sprite.
You'll be good. I think I'm confident that is the Australian leg, is that it? Like the mirror tour is done, or do you have more after that?
I honestly, we haven't talked about it, so I'm not sure. I'm not sure if we'll do a second leg. Hopefully if it goes well, hopefully we would. I'm sure if the tour goes well and the album does well, I'm sure we'd be like, yeah, let's do it. But I don't know, actually. We haven't gotten that far into the schedule.
Do you get to at least talk with your team about, like, say that last Australian show you mentioned, you might want to go to Bali or somewhere around there? Do you get a month off, 3 months off, 6 months off?
Definitely not going to happen. I really want to put out Christmas stuff. Mm-hmm. We also haven't like fully discussed this, but I really want to do like Christmas shows of some sort. Like, I don't know if it's like getting people to bring like a donation or like a gift, and like maybe every show we do, we find like an organization to work with, like something
right. Yeah.
Christmas wise and like giving back. So I'm sure that will start like the week after the Australian tour. Will probably go right into Christmas stuff. So I definitely would say by 2023 is like fully jam-packed. I do not expect to have a day off in 2023. But I am trying to plan January of 2024. I think me and my best friend are going to go to the Philippines and Thailand. So hopefully that's my time off.
Yeah.
And the music industry usually shuts down in January. So that's my time to like soar off and not respond to anyone.
Yeah. No, I love that. Lauren, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's great to meet you finally after following your music for almost 3 years. I did want to ask before you go, because I don't know if you've seen this with that part obviously going viral on TikTok. There is a video of you floating around where I don't know if you met them or you saw them walking past the cast of Grey's Anatomy. People are now using that video with that part.
No. Now,
as someone who has a partner who is also obsessed with Grey's Anatomy, I kind of like that. It made me kind of like Grey's Anatomy a little bit more. Yes. And seeing that video was kind of like, you know what? I like this. This is kind of sweet.
That show, like the way I was acting on that carpet was like, I've never acted like that before.
Who were the people that walked past, by the way, just to clarify?
I mean, I'm going to go off the characters' names in the show, because I'm going to be honest, I don't know all of their names off the show. Yep. But Meredith Grey was there.
Ellen Pompeo, Richard great Weber, actress. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Miranda Bailey was there.
Wow.
It was a big one. Schmidt was there. Joe Wilson was there. There was like a whole eight of them pulled up. And I was like, I've watched this show in the most depressive states of my life over and over and over. And this is the show that kept me going. Like, I was like, the problem is with actors is like, they may not be the same person that they're acting as.
Yeah.
So I'm over here being like, this woman's changed my life. Like, you changed my life, Meredith. I love you. Like, she probably is like, that's not even who I am as a person.
Is Grey's what TV is to you, what Adele is to music?
Kind of, yeah. Like, that's I just finished it. I don't even know what to do with myself. I'm like onto random other shit and I'm so annoyed. I've watched it so many times. I watch it over and over and over. It's the best. A lot of tears because that show is so.
Because every single main character has died.
Every main character, somebody dies in every episode. Somebody's like sick. And then I like finish it. And then I'm like, everyone in my life's going to die. I'm like calling my mom, like, don't get in a car accident today. Like, it's just like, that show brings so many emotions. I love it. I love them. It's amazing. Shonda Rhimes is everything to me.
Well, when you get off this interview, maybe just go look at TikTok, because I saw that video and
it was getting a lot
of hits.
Yeah.
Lauren, thank you so much again. Congrats on the album. And I can't wait to see you in New York. I'm actually going this time because it's not sold out yet. I don't think. I'm sure as I say this, it's already sold out by the time I go to get tickets. So
yeah,
I can't wait to see you in New York.
Yeah. Oh my God. Thank you so much.
We'll talk soon. Thanks, Lauren.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
This episode is sponsored by Splendor in the Grass. To watch full episodes of The Plug Podcast, head over to the official YouTube page at theplug.podcast and hit the subscribe button to stay up to date with all of the video content. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at theplug.podcast for all episode announces, teasers, and giveaways.